Thank you for tuning in to the Illinois Radio Reader. My name is Kayla Verhoeven, and today we will be reading the Pantograph for Thursday of January 22nd, 2026. And we'll start off with Route 66, A Year to Remember, by Drew Zimmerman, 3 hours ago. Our History, Bloomington. Representatives and partners of Visit BN announced a year-long celebration of Route 66 Centennial via special events planned throughout McLean County. Visit BN, which is also known at the Bloomington Normal Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, and its dozens of community partners laid out their plans during a public event Tuesday at the McLean County Museum of History in downtown Bloomington. Several local leaders, as well as U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, Democratic from Springfield, also were in attendance. Beth Wiseman, who chairs the Visit BN board, said officials at the state and federal level have been planning for this anniversary for the last 10 years. Communities from Shenoah to McLean each have their own connection to the most famous highway in the United States. We think about the unique identity that each community has along Route 66, and we will be celebrating the specialness that we have, Wiseman said. We want to make sure that people are also coming from around the world and getting a good sense of what McLean County is, what is our history, and what are the things that we have yet to discover. One of the special events will be a two-day party weekend in June, where numerous McLean County communities will be holding events dedicated to a particular decade of the Mother Road's history. McLean County remains home to a number of iconic stops along Route 66 stretch through Illinois, including the Parkview Drive-In in Bloomington, Dixie Trucker's Home, and Family Restaurant in McLean, and Sprague's Super Service in Normal. Durbin said he saw most of Route 66 out of his back window of a family station wagon at the age of 12, and he is grateful to be a part of the bipartisan effort to highlight Route 66 in Illinois during the Route Centennial. This is a chance for us to show off a lot of things about the history of our state and nation in this critical roadway, Durbin said. Additional events will include the Bloomington Bison's Route 66 night on Saturday, Red Carpet Corridor Weekend in several communities from May 2nd to the 3rd, Route 66 Centennial-themed activities at Radar Family Farms and Normal, including a commemorative corn maze, the release of hops on 66 beer, locally brewed by White Oak Brewery, a Centennial-themed performance by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, and a county-wide scavenger hunt. Greg Zook, Vice President of Brand Partnerships, presented Route 66-themed bison jerseys that will be worn by the players on Saturday and then auctioned off. Bloomington Mayor Dan Brady said that Casey's Garden Shop, the Miller Park Zoo, and Jean's Dairy Delight are some of the landmarks that don't just represent the history of Route 66. They tell the story of generations of families, visitors, businesses, and memories that helped shape our community, Brady said. As mayor, I am proud to join Visit the End and our partners across McLean County as we celebrate this Route 66 Centennial. Normal Mayor Chris Coos said his town draws thousands of visitors from across the country to explore one-of-a-kind attractions, and he is proud to work with the Visit BN to expand on these numbers. Route 66 has always been about bringing people closer together to experience what America is really all about, Coos said. In Normal, we're proud of our history, creating spaces while people from all backgrounds can come together. Route 66 Cruising Through the Century events in McLean County on June 6. Bloomington, signature event from Visit BN, is a 1960s-themed party in the downtown square with live music and a surprise. In Shenoah, a 1920s-themed party on the downtown square with a flapper dance contest with regional dance groups. In Lexington, a 1930s-themed party at the castle with bag band music and lawn games. In Towanda, a 1940s-themed party. On June the 7th, in Normal, a 1950s-themed party with a roadside picnic as well as in Shirley Funk's Grove, a 1970s-themed tie-dye party on the Funk's Grove property. Also, McLean County has a 1980s party on the village square with live music, food, and a classic car parade. Water rate hikes likely in Normal. Town budget. 3 hours ago. Normal. The Normal Town Council has reviewed a $233 million fiscal 2027 budget proposal, about a 10% increase from this year. Ann was told that water, sewer, and stormwater rates need to increase to help fund related capital projects. The council took no action during its work session on Tuesday about the budget for the fiscal year that starts April the 1st of 2026. The current fiscal year's budget is about $211 million. The budget increase is attributed to cost increases in capital projects, such as roadwork and the Uptown Underpass. When asked by council members for how much the water-related rate hike increases would be, Finance Director Andrew Hun said that the town is looking at options to present to the council, but as it stands, there are no rate increases included in the current budget proposals. He said his plans to return to the council with detailed rate increases for each of funds by March. The budget is expected to be approved sometime in March. So, important topics yet to come, but we did want to plant the seed tonight, said City Manager Pam Reese. This picture, I think, is a strong financial picture for all of our funds for the upcoming fiscal year. Aside from shortfalls in the water, sewer, and stormwater funds, the town's general fund, which covers most operating expenses, has strong reserves, with expenditures holding stable with last year's conservative approach, which was based on expected lower sales tax revenues, Hun said. This included reducing the number of transfers from the general fund, capital projects, saving for contingencies, economic development plans, and extra pension funding. There's been some streamlining with departments in terms of limiting positions, which is always encouraging to see departmental colleagues do a job, looking at what their needs are, what can be eliminated, and what can be added, Hun said. The overall economy is looking better than it did this time last year, with the possibility of a recession being less likely, he added, and sales tax revenue has also recovered. Hun said that the budget projects that the state sales tax revenue will increase 2% from the last fiscal year, and the town expects a similar change for local sales tax. Both state and local taxes are projected to make up the 42% of general fund revenue. He also added that pension obligations are still on track to be paid in full by 2040, which should result in lower annual payments. As for rate increases for water, sewer, and stormwater, Hun said that each of the service funds is not meeting target revenue goals to self-fund operating costs and future capital projects. The council previously approved a 2% annual rate increase to both the water and sewer rates in 2024, while the storm water rate has been unchanged since 2006. With the 2% annual increase, the water fee per 1,000 gallons consumed went from $6.97 to $7.11. And the system maintenance fee will go from $6.35 to $6.48 per month in the current fiscal year, according to council documents. The sewer fee per 1,000 gallons consumed went from $3.13 to $3.19. And the system maintenance fee went from $4.34 to $4.43 per month this fiscal year. This has resulted in about $200,000 in additional revenue for the water fund and $100,000 more for the sewer fund. But due to growing operating costs, the additional revenue is not enough, according to town projections. In other news, the town purchased two 2026 Chevrolet Equinox EVs from Sam Lehman Chevrolet for $58,000 with funding from a $100,000 Ameren, Illinois grant, executed a design contract for exhibit updates at the Children's Discovery Museum with Roto Group for $90,000. And the council also appointed Brian Hinman to the Normal Human Relations Commission. In government and politics, Woodford County Board gives Rebuild Illinois grant money to Benson Minunk for projects. Steve signed for the pantograph 20 hours ago. Eureka. Two Woodford County communities will each receive $50,000 from the Tom Bennett Rebuild Illinois grant program to fund resurfacing, sidewalk, and infrastructure projects. The county board Tuesday approved distributing the money to Benson and Minunk. The grant program was set up to fund projects in the county's District 1, which was within Bennett's 53rd district when he served as a state senator from 2023 to 2025. The grants that went to Benson and Minunk were the first awarded from the $150,000 program. In a letter written to the board, Benson Mayor Chris Mullins said that village officials have been exploring for ways to pay for a resurfacing project in Benson Community Park. The tennis courts, basketball court, and lower parking lot were targeted. Resurfacing the three asphalt surfaces would alleviate several uneven surfaces and cracks, eliminating numerous tripping hazards, Mullins wrote. It would also significantly improve our ADA approaches, making the entire park more ADA friendly. Another benefit of resurfacing the parking lot is mitigating an erosion problem caused by elevation changes and water runoff, Mullins wrote. Based on requests from residents, the village had installed pickleball courts in the tennis courts area, he also noted. Minunk County City Administrator Bill Moline wrote in a letter to the board that the grant money for this city would be used for a sidewalk and infrastructure improvements in the downtown business area. Other business. Six laptops used by Woodford County Health Department employees that are, quote-unquote, still in good working order, but can't run the programs that we need to run, according to Administrator Bethany Albrecht, were donated to the county for possible reuse. The laptops are 6 to 8 years old and can be recycled if another use cannot be found for them, she said. The board continued its discussion about doing away with mailed meeting agenda packets because of quote-unquote major mail issues, according to County Clerk Don Kupfer, and going paperless except for the agenda. A plan to purchase 15 Apple 11-inch iPads from CDWG from Chicago for about $10,000 for board members to use for county business was rejected because of the cost and the fact that the purchase was not budgeted. The board's county offices committee will continue to work on solutions for the mail and paperless issues. The board approved the lowest responsible bid of $31,793 from Windmere Interiors of Peoria for new conference room furniture for the Emergency Management Agency's Command Center. The bid was $1,793, over budget, which concerned some board members. EMA Director Kent McCandless told board members in its annual report that his agency and 40 active members were called out for 20 severe weather events last year. An average of 13.5 members responded for those events. McCandless also said Stacy Amagioni was named the new EMA Deputy and Director. The board also approved low bids totaling $44,781 for the Veterans Assistance Commission's move from the courthouse to the county Annex 4. The low bidders for the new VAC office were Right Way Construction from Taylorville, BP Electric from Elmwood, Hart Technologies from East Peoria, and Knapp Tile and Flooring from Eureka. Low bids totaling $355,432 from Mangold Ford in Eureka for 7 new squad cars and 1 jail transport vehicle for the Woodford County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Matt Smith said the old vehicles being replaced will be sold through the Ailes Auction Services of Roanoke, with the money going into the department's impounded and seized vehicle fund. The board also approved moving its March 17th meeting to March 19th so it wouldn't conflict with the primary election. The reappointment of Robert Reason to the Spring Bay Fire Protection District Board. Reason is a 51-year member of the Spring Bay Fire Department. In education, an alert and top story, the Heartland Board okays a new hybrid diesel program, building some name changes. 18 hours ago, in Normal, Heartland Community College is introducing a new program that is the first of its kind in the state for developing hybrid diesel technology. The Heartland Board of Trustees on Tuesday approved a new certificate for a program for students that were interested in studying the hybrid diesel equipment technology. Steve Fast, assistant to the president and public information and communication director for the college, said in an email Wednesday, the program will provide hands-on training and technical coursework focused on diagnosing, repairing, and maintaining medium and heavy-duty hybrid diesel vehicles and equipment. Students will gain experience with electric propulsion systems alongside diesel engines and will be prepared for entry-level employment or opportunities to gain additional knowledge within the workforce. The new program will address a growing statewide training gap emerging in transportation, agriculture, diesel retail, trucking, and logistics, Fast said in the email. A recent analysis identified more than 300 unique job postings for these positions, with a median salary of $52,000. Other colleges have existing diesel programs, but this is the first one to bridge traditional diesel systems with emerging hybrid and electric vehicle technologies, said Adam Campbell, Dean of Career and Technical Education at Heartland, in a statement. The hybrid diesel certificate is 26 credit hours and can stack into an Associate of Applied Science degree focused on industrial technology. The coursework will cover electrical systems, battery technology, power electronics, regenerative braking, hybrid diesel electric powertrain management, climate control systems, and high voltage safety protocols. The board also approved new certificates in industrial robotics and programmable controllers, which offer students the opportunity to acquire a skill that transfers into entry-level work or stacks with other coursework towards an associate degree. The programs still need approval from the Illinois Community College Board. Once approved, they will be offered at Heartland in the fall semester. The board also approved the third phase of the Student Center, which is currently known as the Workforce Development Center, to add a second elevator and remodel the entrance of the atrium in the building. Fast said, this will finish the college's efforts to transform the building to consolidate all student services in one location, including admissions, enrollment, student access, and accommodation services. The cost of the third phase is not to exceed $10.4 million and will go out for bid with construction to start this summer. The project is expected to be completed in March of 2027. In other news, the board approved a name change for the Student Commons building to the Academic Resource Center and the Workforce Development Center to the Student Center. The name changes will take effect in January of 2027. Today's Flick Fact, 3 hours ago. Today's question. So, it's the 1980s, and you're standing at Parker Home Center in Bloomington, next door to Warburg Furniture, across the street from Jerry Smith Motors. Do you know the street corner? Today's answer. It's today Veterans Parkway at Oakland Avenue intersection. A Walgreens sits on the corner today, among other businesses. How time flies, 3 hours ago. 100 years ago, on January the 22nd, 1926, at the first annual meeting here of the directors of the William Oil-O-Matic Heating Company, it was voted to declare quarterly dividend of 37 cents per share on the common stock, accounting to 2.5%, payable on February the 15th. This will represent a distribution of $135,000 to 3,600 stockholders. 75 years ago, January 22, 1951, Kenneth Woody Bradshaw's symphonic poem, Expert Shindig, was received with greatest enthusiasm at its world premiere Sunday by the Cincinnati Orchestra, Orchestra in Cincinnati under the direction of Dr. Thor Johnson. It is believed this is the first time a major U.S. orchestra has given recognition to a Bloomington composer. 50 years ago, on January 22, 1976, Normal's research for an identity could soon be over. A new logo, showing a silhouette of the new City Hall with Watterson Towers in the background, will soon be in final draft and ready for cost estimates. 25 years ago, on January 22, 2001, the seam between town and gown traditionally has been Fell Avenue in Normal, but that is changing. Officials from both the town of Normal, Illinois, and Illinois State University envision the intersection of Fell and North Street as a portal between a revitalized downtown to the east and the campus to the west. Last week, Normal Mayor Kent Carriker unveiled a downtown revitalization plan and a 9-member commission to implement it. Meanwhile, ISU is revising its own comprehensive campus master plan. You can contact Brendan Dennison at 309-820-3238. Follow Brendan Dennison on Twitter at Brendan Dennison. Polar Vortex, Bringing Deep Chill, by Seth Borenstein, Associated Press, 3 hours ago. Washington. Warm Arctic waters and cold continental land will combine to stretch the dreaded polar vortex in a way that will send much of the United States a devastating dose of winter weather later this week, with swaths of painful sub-zero temperatures, heavy snow, and power line toppling ice. Meteorologists said the eastern two-thirds of the nation is threatened with a winter storm that could rival the damage of a major hurricane and has some origins in an Arctic that is warming from climate change. They warn the frigid weather is likely to stick around through the rest of January and into early February, meaning the snow and ice that accumulates will take a long time to melt. Forecasts have the storm expected to start Friday, stretching from New Mexico to New England and across the Deep South. About 230 million people will face temperatures of 20 degrees or colder, and about 150 million will likely be hit by snow and ice, with many Americans getting both, according to the National Weather Service. I think people are underestimating just how bad it's going to be, said former National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Chief Scientist Ryan Mao, now a private meteorologist. The polar vortex, a patch of bitterly cold air that often stays pinned up in northern Canada and Alaska, is being elongated by a wave in the upper atmosphere that goes back to a relatively ice-free part of the Arctic and snow-buried Siberia. As the bone-chilling temperatures sweep through the United States, they'll meet with the moisture from off of California and the Gulf of Mexico to set up crippling ice and snow in many areas. Local protests in Bloomington Normal. Bloomington Normal protesters join national walkout into response of Trump. By D. Jack Elkire. Bloomington. Roughly 60 people took time out of their work day, and some took personal time on Tuesday afternoon to protest the actions of the Trump White House. The protest took place from 2 to 3 p.m. on the lawn alongside Veterans Parkway at Lakewood Plaza in support of Women's March's Walk Out, a call for people across America to walk out of work, school, or businesses in protest. This is a walkout that's occurring across the nation, said Olga Moss, a protest organizer with Bloomington Normal 5050501. We are done with this regime. We're standing here as a community together, neighbors, friends, and family, standing up for freedom, standing up for America. Protesters held signs with various messages denouncing different actions by the Trump administration, including slogans like, "No kings in America," and "No blood for oil." One college-age protester held a sign referencing the Diary of Anne Frank. "Terrible things are happening outside. Poor, helpless people are being dragged out of their homes. Families are torn apart. Children come home from school to find that their parents have disappeared. It's not normal. Joe Laird has only recently became politically active, he said. I think it's important that people are out here and just waking up to this crap, Laird said. People want to pretend this is normal. It's not normal for people to be shot in the face, he said, referring to the killing of Renee Good by a U.S. Immigration and Customs official in Minneapolis. Others, like Amber Stenstrud, have been protesting whenever they get the chance. I'm tired of our country turning into a fascist dictatorship, she said. Besides enhanced presence of immigration authorities in cities across the United States, Stinson said that there is a daily barrage of things that are pushing the country towards fascism, such as President Donald Trump threatening long-held alliances with European countries. I just cannot stand by and let our country go in this direction, especially for my kids, she said. I want to leave a better world for my kids, not worse. While many motorists honked, waved, and shouted their support for protesters, there was one vehicle that stopped on Veterans Parkway, in which a passenger rolled down their window and shouted that the protesters were, quote-unquote, un-American. Moss quickly moved to the side of the truck, putting herself between it and the protesters. The driver then slowly drove north while traffic moved out of the lane around the truck. This is the most American thing that we can do, Christine Hetcher said in response. The First Amendment allows us our opinions, and it is supposed to allow us to express them freely, said fellow protester Alita Diggins. And so, you know, by saying you shouldn't be expressing your opinions, they're going against the First Amendment. Acts of resistance. Tuesday's turnout was significantly smaller, with other protests, including on a recent Saturday in which 350 people braved the cold at the same location. I understand that this is not an option for everybody, said Moss. Some people are just trying to get through the day, survive, and I recognize that, and I acknowledge that they appreciate that they're doing the best they can with what they have. For many, walking out of their place of employment to protest poses not only a risk to their livelihood, but also their family's health care, said fellow organizer Brad Bell. We don't have universal health care or child care protections that make it easier in, like, European countries where you see them protest at the drop of a hat, he said. Like, people here are really scared and we keep in economic bondage. Even if people can't actively attend protests, there are still ways to get involved with little acts of resistance, Moss said. Put up little signs all over town. Wear a shirt. Put a bumper sticker on your car, she said. There's little acts of resistance that you can do all day long. Those interested in Bloomington Normal 50501 are encouraged to join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/13429799-6700-8881. And thank you for listening with me today. I'm Kayla Verhoeven, and I hope you enjoyed the first part of the Pantograph. And have a good rest of your day. Stay warm and stay safe.